Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. What a pleasure it is to say that to you. To know that you feel good for having come to be with us. To know that you're looking for something with anticipation to help you make the week better, with less problems and difficulties. And to know that you had to shake hands and hug necks and spread joy. What a joy for us to be together. We're glad to see all of you. I have visitors from several different places. The Millers here are friends of mine from, they're now from Florida. They were from Alabama when I knew them. It's good to have them in the audience. Other people I'm sure that I haven't recognized. We're glad you're here. Glad we can be together. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When a person is in Christ, he is a new creation. New things come into his life. Old things pass away. I read with your kind permission, you may want to follow, from Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth not walk as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him, and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands that thing which is good, that he may give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away with for you with malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I have a little game I play. I judge commercials on television. I have three criteria. A commercial on television is either good, or it's bad, or it's horrible. And I see all three kinds. I guess it's because of my background that I'm so critical. But I think that three things are necessary for a good commercial. There has to be something that arrests the attention of the hearers, of the believers, of the viewers. There has to be some sort of interesting thing that describes the product or the service that they're advertising. Then thirdly, there has to be some sort of good kind of pushing things, good kind of recommendations that make the product worth having. Commercials are fun. One that I enjoy a great says, the actors, these are people, not actors. Necessary implication, actors are not people. Dumb, D-U-M. One of my favorite commercials, though, for several years, is about a man who weighed 600 pounds. He went about an activity to create a new me, and he lost 400 pounds right at it. And he tells about all he has done as a result of that. And he says about himself, I became a new person, a new man. And he was. He looked much better. He couldn't even tie his shoes before. Now he's a new person. You know what it's like to be a new man, a new person, a new me, a new individual? That's what we have in the context which we read in your hearing tonight. This is how we become a new man. We do two things. We put on things and we take off things, just like that man did. We put on things and we take off things. So I want you to take a look at what it means to be the new man. First of all, he says in verse 17 of that passage of Scripture, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you walk not as the Gentiles walk, but that you walk in understanding. They walk in misunderstanding. You walk in understanding. You walk with an open heart. They have a blindness in their heart. Their past feeling, he says in verse 19, giving themselves over to ungodliness and filth and putridity, working in uncleanness, greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ if you were taught by him. If you've been taught by Christ, you know that you have to be a new me. You're born again. But you're not just born again. You begin to develop as you've been born again. You become a new person. Your thinking is not the same as it was. Your emotions are not guarded the same way. The aspirations that you have, the goals that you have in mind, they're not the same anymore. You're a new me. Are you a new me? I hope so. After you've been baptized into Christ and become a new person, you begin to develop the real you in life. There are three things about character that impress me. One says, let me give you the definition of character. Character is sometimes who people think you are. Character is sometimes who people think you are, and you know who you think you are. Then thirdly, there's character that God knows you are. He knows if you're going to put on the new man. You don't stop when you're baptized into Christ. You begin to develop the new man. You put off concerning your former manner of life. The corrupt man, the old man, according to deceitful lust. And you're renewed in the spirit of your mind. That says that you go to the very level of who you are down deep in your mind. And you're renewed in that spirit, and you have a new kind of aspiration. You have a new kind of dedication. You have a new kind of vocation. You have a new kind of conversation, a new kind of life. You're going to be something different than what you were. And that's hard. It's not easy, but it's absolutely necessary. And it will make you a man fit for divine association, fit for the presence of God himself. A man who can bow himself before God in the spirit of his mind, having learned about Christ, and pray his favor, pray his desires to him, pray your affection for him, and know that he hears you, that he's there. So then, put on the new man. The old man was corrupt according to deceitful lust. He said, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man, which after God is created in holiness and righteousness. Righteousness and holiness are good things. Right wayness, what righteousness is all about. And holiness, being like God. Be ye holy as I'm holy. You develop the very characteristics of God himself. Because you're close to him. Because you look like him. Because you're near him. You're constantly in touch with him. You're in constant contact with deity. And that's going to make a drastic change. You're recreated. You're going to be created in righteousness and holiness. You're going to take the righteousness of God and the holiness of God, and you're going to put those things to work in your own personal life. But let me tell you something about that. You have to decide to do it. Far too many people obey the gospel and then quit. Far too many people become new people, and then all of a sudden they revert back to their old life again. It saddens my soul to see through the years how many people I've seen that obeyed the gospel and for a while were faithful, and all of a sudden they started the old man again. They started to get involved in his old assignments, his old duties, and his old fancies, and his old desires. They're just despicable. And we need to be very careful about it. It says, put on the new man. Put away lying. We spoke a few weeks ago on lying. So many different ways to do it. Put off lying. Don't lie. Don't misuse the truth. Don't change the truth. Don't play with the truth. Don't despise the truth. Make sure that what you're doing is true all the time. I am the true and living way. He is the true way. Make sure that what you say is in accordance with His will. Make sure when you say something that it's going to be said in the light of the gospel, that you're going to say, this is what He teaches me. I have determined I'm going to be the new me. I'm the new person. And so I'm going to put to work in my life those things that He said, righteousness and holiness. And in that connection, I'm not going to say things that are not true. I'm not going to accept things that are not true either. I'll watch my conversations. I'll watch my affirmations. I'll watch what I say to whom and when I say it. I'll think before I speak. I'll be aware that man must make a careful use of the time. And could I say something in contradistinction to that? One of the things I think that's missing in many of our lives is the failure to use the tongue for positive ends. There are so many things that can be done with the tongue that are positive. How long has it been since you just chose to encourage somebody? You ever see people that you think probably are down a little bit? What's wrong with going up to them saying, is something wrong? Can I help you? That's good use of the tongue. We have all kinds of things like that. Barnabas was a son of encouragement. That simply means that you're just going to say the things that build up, the things that edify, the things that they're genuine, they're true. You don't make up stuff. You don't do sycophantic stuff. You do the real thing. You don't flatter people. You just say that was good, or I appreciate you, or I love you, or those are things. That's truth, and that's opposed to lying. If you're going to be the new man, you speak the truth, you put away lying. And may I say again to you, as I said the other night, we lie the loudest when we lie to ourselves. Be careful that you don't lie to yourself about where you are, about who you are, and where you're going. If you're not careful, you'll distort the new person. You won't be the new me that you ought to be because you've distorted what you look like. You look into the perfect law of liberty and abide therein, not forgetful, being a man of God, seeing what you really see honestly, and then saying to yourself, I'm going to be the kind of person that God wants me to be. I am the new me, and I'm going to stay that way. Put away lying. He says, furthermore, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down in your wrath. Anger is a bad thing. Anger is a good thing. It depends on what context it's in. Jesus got angry with the people in the temple that were charging for sacrificial things. He was angry with them. I think He was angry with the Apostle Peter when Peter said, no, nothing's going to happen to you. I'll see to that. He said, get thee behind me, devil. Get thee behind me. So he was a little bit upset with it. It's not wrong to be upset, but be upset about the right things. Be upset about things that deserve your anger and deserve your disdain. Look for things, though, that are good. Be angry and sin not. If you do have to be angry with your children, don't let it be more than a day. If you had to be angry with your parents, young people, don't let it be more than 24 hours. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath, he says. So then, he says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. I love the way the Apostle Paul did that sentence by the afflatus of the Holy Spirit. Give no place to the devil. You can't keep the devil away from your house. He's going to lurk around. He walks around about like a feline, padded foot person. He's seeking to draw away disciples after himself all the time. He's looking to find a weakness in your new man. He's in the new you. He wants to take you and handle you poorly. Give no place to the devil. You can't keep him hanging around. But you don't have to give him a place to stay. It is stupid. I mean that word in the pure sense of that word, stupido. It is stupid to allow the devil residence in your life. Kick him out. Kick the evil out. Depart from evil. Do good. Don't let him have a place in your life. Don't give place to the devil. Don't let him sit down. He'll pass through. Kick him as he passes through. Call him ignorant. Call him crazy. Get out of my life. Can't you say to the devil when he comes to try to tempt you to sin, get thee hence. Get thee hence. Get behind me. I don't want anything to do with you. Don't bother me. Get away from me. Stay away from me. And he'll be back tomorrow morning. You know what you do tomorrow morning? You get him, kick him out again. That's what you do. And you have to do that over and over and over again. I'll tell you what. I've been a Christian a long, long time. The devil's still around. He's still trying to get me all the time. I'm constantly a Christian for many years, constantly having to kick him out of the way, get him out of the way. But the new man, the new me, the real me, the dedicated me, the worshipful me, the one God is creating, the one that God is creating and renewing in his spirit of his mind, that person is going to kick the devil out. So kick him out of the way. Then he says, let him that stole steal no more. Rather, let him labor working with his hands that which is good, that he may have to give to those in need. You kind of wonder why he put that in there, don't you? Well, it's because people do it. People steal. If you take things from the office, you're stealing stuff. If you didn't get permission, if somebody didn't give it to you, if you take other people's things, you're stealing. If you don't do your taxes according to the law, you're stealing. There are all kinds of subtle little things, subtle little innuendos in the way we steal from God, steal from righteousness, or steal from people. Do you give a good 40-hour week for the boss? If not, you're stealing time from him. This is new me. We have to be careful about the simplest little things. And do you notice what we're talking about? There's none of this that's flamboyant. It's not that it's huge. It's not graphic and beautiful. It's not got all these huge kind of things. It's simple little things. Be wise small, somebody said. We need to be wise small. Take care of the little things. And one of those is truth. Make sure that the truth is the bedrock foundation for all that you do. I want to say that again. Make sure that the truth is the bedrock foundation for everything that you do. If you do that way, things are going to go the right way. You'll have some problems, difficulties along. You'll have some difficulties with your people. You'll have some difficulties sometimes even with your own brethren. People bump into one another. They just had to do that sometimes, but you need to be careful. Be careful with the truth and watch out how you handle the truth. Let him that stole steal no more. Let him not steal from a good relationship. Let him give to it all that he can. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. But he said, that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. This again is that education, is that encouragement thing I was talking about. We so need to learn to do that. This church is a wonderful congregation on all kinds of fronts. We have wonderful leadership. We have 2 out of 3 decent preachers. Sorry, Bubba. We have good deacons who are very active and dedicated. We have everything that's going right for us. We need to encourage one another. And one of the things that's impressive to me about this church is they're not afraid to look a guy in the eye and say, I love you. If you can't do that, you don't belong to God. If you can't do that, you're not the real me that He wants you to be. If you can't do that, you're not the good person that God wants you to be. So we need to be aware of what it means to encourage people. Helping people is part of what we're here. We come together, He says, to love and provoke one another. Know ye not that so many of us assemble together, assemble in His name? Why do we do that? Well, we come so that we can edify ourselves. We edify ourselves through this wonderful thing called truth, and then we worship to God. But we're able to clasp hands with one another and say, I like what you do. I appreciate what you do. Or sometimes encouragement is negative. Sometimes you have to disencourage somebody. You have to say to them, you need to be careful about that. You need to be careful how you say that. You need to be careful where you go with that. We need to love one another so much that we're not opposed to correction. Lovingly applied correction is good for us. We need to make sure that that's the case. We love one another, exhort one another, consider one another, encourage one another. Then he says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is how you got to be the new man. He revealed the Word. The Word revealed the information of God. You took advantage of the information of God, came to be a new servant of His, and now you're working to make the new man an ultimate reality so that you're ready for the association of God Himself. All that has taken place because of the fact that you grieve not the Holy Spirit. Don't make Him sad. Don't grieve Him. Don't exasperate Him, one rendition says. Don't exasperate the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's giving you all that you need to know. Don't mess it up. Don't scatter ink on the journal. Don't get things messed up on the pages of your life. Make your history something that's an accurate manifestation of the new person concept. You can't do that if you don't try hard. You can't do that if you don't make a dedicated effort every day of your life. And it's hard. It's difficult. Nobody denies. He says, then put away bitterness. Long-standing resentment. Bitterness is cancerous. Bitterness is horrible. If you've ever seen anybody who was bitter, you've seen somebody who's very unhappy, not only with themselves, but everybody else. It shows in their demeanor. It shows that they have a longing kind of resentment. You can't have a long-term resentment for anybody. And you certainly can't investigate their lives and then be bitter against them because of what you found. We need to be the new man. Love one another. That is not to say that you don't correct, as I pointed out a while ago. When somebody does you wrong, if you're going to be bitter about it, it's going to eat you up. It's a cancer that will begin to grow. And the first thing you know, you'll be perfidious. You'll be eaten up with it. It won't be helpful to you. It'll hurt you. So bitterness. Aristotle it was, I think, who said that most truth is the medium between two extremes. And bitterness is one of the extremes. He described meekness as the difference between extreme anger and extreme angerlessness. You can't have either one. You have what's in the middle. Don't grieve the Spirit. And don't be bitter. Don't be ungodly. Rather be kind. And have kindness for every location. I just have to say over and over because I love to say it. Our English word kind is akin to our English word kin. We're kind to one another because we're kin to one another. We need to be that way. We're brothers in Christ. We're a fellowship of forgiven sinners who've joined their hands in praise to God and in loving kindness toward one another and in the desire from God to get the help that they need to be the kind of people that they ought to be. So that's, when you distort bitterness, you fill it up with good and love. Love is such a wonderful thing. It radiates into every area of our life. It touches everything we do. I was saying to one of the ladies, a woman has a beauty about herself when she's pregnant that she has in no other time in her life. That's love at work. Love just reaches into all kinds of areas. It reaches into our homes. It reaches into our families. It reaches into every area of our life. And if we ignore it, we're being foolish. That's the answer to bitterness. Love one another with kindness. Every situation deserves your kind remarks. Kind remarks, kind feelings, kind gifts. These are all kind things that we do because we're kin to one another. I love you people. We love one another. Let's act like it. And those of you in families, do you love your wife? Then act like it. You love your husband? Say so and tell him. Love is not some kind of unmanageable emotion that nobody has any feeling. Love is describable. It's describably delicious is what it is. And it works when we put it to work. God so loved the world. By this shall you know that you're my brethren if you love one another. Love is of God. We need to remember those things. That's the offshoot against bitterness. Then he talks about wrath and anger, habitual wrath and anger. And the answer to that is compassion. I love our English word compassion. It comes from the Latin prefix con, which means with, and then pathos or pathos, which means feeling. So it's with feeling, right? No, it's with feeling. It's feeling with somebody. We have to have compassion with one another. I've seen people manifest that compassion here. You do well with it. When somebody's lost a loved one, when Sister Mosby died, it was obvious that we all cared about that, that we're all compassionate for Ron and for his family. The same thing is true with everything that we do here. I'm glad for that. Let's not forget to keep on keeping on. I say it again. Let's not forget to keep on keeping on. Then he says, get away with clamoring. That's loud stuff. You ever go up to a conversation, some guy's dominating the conversation, you can hear him three blocks down the street? That's what clamor is. It's just loud speaking. Evil speaking sometimes that way. And then he says, get rid of malice. Tenderness. Tenderness is the key to a lot of things. We need to be humble and tender and kind. Forgiving spirit, quick to forgive. When somebody asks, I'm quick to do that, we say, let's do that. Instead of saying, well, I'll think that over, or I'll think about it, but I'm going to call some things up in my mind. Don't do that. How did God forgive you? I hope he didn't do it that way, don't you? I hope he did it the right way, and I know he did. Forgiveness is an act of God, and it's an act of me too. So, 600 pounds, all trim and back down, right like it ought to be. Be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has pardoned you. How about yourself? You working hard on the new me? It's always new. The new man is never completed until the resurrection. So let's continue to work diligently, strive hard to make the new man not just something that we think about, but the realization of what God's given us to do. Thank you for listening. Somebody need to obey the gospel? We got some people here that need to. You're running a risk every time you pass a car. You're 3 feet from eternity. Do you know that? You better get your life right. How about starting the new man process? How about being born again in the water and the spirit? How about coming, confessing your faith in Christ with a penitent attitude, be baptized, make the new man possibility. God will forgive your sins. He'll make you a new man. Isn't that wonderful? You won't look different, but you'll sure be different. Would you come to him while we stand and while we sing?